Of the night. And the first song is, we'll look at is Psalm 51, which was just read for you. But let me just give you a little context. Those of you who have been reading the story, this will be a little familiar and a little bit review. But as my teachers always used to say to me, review, David, review, review. Well, if we look at 2 Samuel 11, we see that it's springtime and it's a time when the wars and the fighting would happen, and David just sends off his army instead of going with them. The army still succeeded, but David's in Jerusalem, and I think what's going on in David's life is a period of what I perhaps call unholy discontent. Unholy discontent. He's just sort of listless and saying, it doesn't matter. Taking care of it. And so it's not taking time with God, so we're not wondering that he sees this attractive woman, and we know what follows, and how her woman's husband ends up dying, and all of these horrible things happen. And sometimes we're like football teams. Did you ever see a football team? This will be hard for you in Detroit. Have you ever seen a football team that was on the field and it didn't seem like they showed up? Well, it happens. And sometimes, even we come to worship and we don't show up. Or we just hear all about it actually. Or we'll say grace, we'll say a cookie. Or we're sleepy. Good night, God. But in this, David just sorts of does his own thing. And here's the problem. When we do our own thing, and we're in positions of authority, or positions where we affect people, doing our own things affect people. Sometimes doing our own things, if we do it particularly wrongly, we not only affect people, we infect people. We infect people with our unholy discontent, our sin, our anger, our bitterness, our apathy, our malaise. And so this happens to him, and a whole bunch of pain happens. But fortunately, David was one of those people who had a friend and a prophet who could speak the truth. Now, there's a lot of leaders out there that if you speak the truth, they'll thank you and ask you what's your next job going to be. But David wasn't like that. He was a man of integrity. And Nathan confronts him with a story that's sort of foreign. integrity. And he said, take that person and we'll punish them. And he just said all this stuff. And then Nathan said to David, you are the man. You are the person who went against God, who used and abused people. You see, when we use people, even just for our own purposes, without caring about them and how they're doing, we use people like that is to abuse them. And so, the cool thing that goes on is that David is overwhelmed and he realizes, how could I have done that? What was I thinking? Where did I go wrong? Have you ever made a mistake like that? We just say, oh God, why would you even want me? What's wrong with me? And you know, I have pastor in enough churches and other people are saying that to themselves, you know, even now, some here and some way out there. But when he comes to God and he says, to make that I've sinned against the Lord, he acknowledges what he did wrong. We have a new trend in our society. When people do something wrong and they like it, they just redefine it sin and say that's just how they are. We see that again and again, and we also almost invariably have a medication to give them for it. And medications are good and great, and I celebrate the use of them. David faces what happened by turning to God. And he says in his song of the night, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. You know, last time I preached when I was talking about how not everyone here was nice or holy or whatever, but that I was glad they were here. If we somehow stay in the presence of God, even in the midst of the holy discontent, even in the midst of the doubt, even in the midst of our anger with God or with whoever, just seeking the presence of God, even through another person, facilitates grace for us. And the one thing David had down, both because the name of Abraham means the love of God. Before I received God's love and I was a young punk, I hated that. But when I realized that God truly loved me, that made all the difference in the world. And so, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your unfailing love. But just put it on terms. You love me so much, you never fail me, no matter how many times I fail you, God. And he said, I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me, and he asked God to cleanse them, take them away. And he said, do not cast me from your presence. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Grant me a willing spirit and sustain me. He believes in the midst of his failings that God loves him so much that even if David cannot forgive himself, God does. In our songs and service, they would pray. And one of the things that you would want to know was who was what? Number one of the parade. In the scriptures, particularly in the Psalms, of David. Number one on the hit parade is Psalm 23. Would you agree? And particularly if you've been hit. If you've been hit by life, if you've been hit by circumstances, if you've been hit by mistakes, if you've been hit and knocked down, number one on the hit parade is Psalm 23. And that's because David, who was such a wonderful person, still went astray and still faltered. And we looked in Psalm 51 how he threw himself on the mercy of God and he was restored. But I have to believe, because he began as a shepherd, that this was his psalm most of all. And of course, it begins, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, I've visited people that were dying. I've visited people in nursing homes. I've visited people in prisons and mental hospitals. All sorts of stuff. I've visited people in Alzheimer's who were starting to rob some of the capacity of what they hoped for. And very often, I would start this verse, and the person would say, "The Lord is." Just in that line alone is such comfort. This is not a God who is disengaged, who lets life just come at us and leaves us alone. This is a God who is our shepherd. David was a shepherd. And as a shepherd, with his rod and his staff, he had taken care of lion and bear to protect the sheep. Not because he had a grudge against lion and bear, but because he was there to protect the sheep. David knew how precious sheep are to a shepherd. And you are even more precious than that to God. And so he would say this. He said that I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You know when things are really rotten? If you're fully mad or fully upset or you've really been hit, you know what it's like when you go to sleep and you can't sleep? You know, because you just can't get it out of your mind and it takes hold of you. And David said, this shepherd so takes care of me. His love and mercy is so unfailing. I can lie down in green pastures. I can be led by the still waters. He can still my soul. And God does still our soul. Not as much as we want. But it still takes time. There's still pain. There's still hurt. It doesn't all go away. But we are not alone in that pain. He restoreth my soul. Restoreth my soul. David knew what it was like to be restored. Not only him, and not down, but restored. And God comes alongside and he restores us. And that's wonderful. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He knew what it was like to take the wrong path, and he knew that God had gotten him back on the right path. And so he sought that God. Especially to stay off that path that was so painful. He realized his constant need of restoring. And then he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," and he had faced the giant, had faced the army, the bear, the lion, and even faced the evil that was within him that sought to drag him down. And he knew that God was with him.
have to fear the evil. It just needed to give that evil to God. And that's what we're about with the shepherd, the trusted shepherd. Even with that side of ourselves that we don't like, that isn't always kind. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The presence of God that was with him, even in the midst of his sin, and I've said this before, I'll keep saying it, so get used to it. Even if you're sinning, even if you're angry with God, even if you're defying God, if you can just think towards God, if you can just say any kind of prayer, like even, dear God, I'm really mad at you. Any kind of prayer keeps us aware of the presence that's there. The presence doesn't leave us. It's we bind ourselves in the presence. So we seek to do that. And then he goes on to say, for thou art with me, my rod and my staff that comfort me. Thou prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The God of mercy, of unfailing love. And it's this table of unfailing love for each of you. But when I was younger and in college, which was a little while ago, I met Richard Werber. He was a pastor in Russia, and he spent years in the Gulag. And he had these wonderful stories of Hitler moments. Great pain and great loss. And one of his best stories, most sad, is that while he was in the Gulag, he met a Romanian pastor. The pastor had been sentenced to the Gulag for 22 years for being good, for his goodness. And he was telling Richard about it. This man, he had a wife and six children. And they were eating breakfast. And they had just read the 23rd Psalm. And as they were doing this, the police burst into his home. And the police proceeded to arrest him in a threatening manner. And the minister said these words: you are the fulfillment of what we have prayed today. We have just heard that God prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. We have a table, but we have no enemies. We just sit down and eat with us. We'll gladly share with you. We'll gladly share what we have with you, for you are sent by God. The cop is screaming, don't you realize you could be arrested? How can we say such stupid things? We'll take you to prison and they'll never see you again. You better fear us. And the pastor said, we've already read about this today. The Gulag passed through the valley of the shadow of death. I will not fear it. How in the world could you not fear us? Said the captain. Everyone fears us. Pastor looked at the captain and said, the shadow is not something to fear. The shadow of a dog can't bite you. The shadow of death can't kill you. All these things are shadows. We have another life, not one in this world, but in the one to come. We can be killed, but we will be alive in another place. The pastor was taken and put in the prison. His children were deported. They knew the power of temporary outcome. But it